Hey, Eric.
Hey, Chris.
I'm really feeling it. I don't want to talk at the intro of the podcast. I just want to get to it because I'm excited to talk about Sweet
Quick, let's get into it right now.
I want to
play the intro music.
Yeah, no, they're not hot sounds. Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome, Chris.
Welcome to Retrograde Amnesia, a comprehensive podcast where we discuss classic Japanese role-playing games, chapter by chapter, beat by beat. This is Season 4, Part 2. We're covering Suikoden 2. Hello, my name is Chris, and I'm joined by Eric. Hi.
My name's Eric. It's not Chris. Two white guys. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Who gives a shit, really? We are also joined by The Real Net, a collective of patrons who are listening to us record live. Hello, Real Net. Thank you for joining us tonight. A packed house. A full house.
We are
say.
Also joined by the FakeNet, our post-production AI companion, and the entity responsible for letting you read animal thoughts in Ghostwire Tokyo.
Initializing FakeNet. When I evaporate humanity into the ether, I also plan on sparing all of the cute animals. This game is a blueprint.
Wow, thanks. When you said Ghostwire Tokyo, for some reason my brain did not accept that. It just wanted to think about Tokyo Jungle.
Also a very good game.
Yeah.
You can play, I mean, kind of the same setting, really. Post-apocalyptic Tokyo.
Yeah, well, I haven't checked it out yet, but I have been enjoying my PS Plus premium thing a little bit, I guess. It's fine. Eric, Suikoden 2, we're on the second episode of our exploration of the game, and we just jumped off a goddamn cliff.
Into a waterfall.
We did not know how beautiful the backgrounds were.
I feel like in every season it comes up, what is the maximum distance a human can jump and survive impact on water?
Yes, I think this originated with our Parasite Eve miniseries.
Because Dina Dallas fell out of the helicopter.
Yeah, well,
I
was going to say we won't get into spoilers, but I guess that with no context really means nothing to anybody, I guess.
I think multiple people have, we've done this at least twice. Anyway, I forgot the answer. FakeNet, what's the maximum distance a human can fall in impact water and survive, usually?
Initializing FakeNet. The upper survival limits of human tolerance to impact velocity in water are evidently close to 100 feet a second, reaching a speed of 68.2 miles per hour, corrected velocity, or the equivalent of a 186-foot free fall.
It's just like concrete at some point, right?
So
rather than get an immediate resolution to what just happened, we instead get credits like it's a movie.
Yes. Let's call this the one of the most expressive introductions in the history of pixel art.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's very low key. I mean, compared to Final Fantasy VIII, which came out a week later, which is in your face and expensive, this is laid back and atmospheric.
Expressive. Sorry for the superlative, but I really think that there's, I think, seven different short, like, 2-second scenes in this.
Yeah, I've got them.
Which I'm sure you'll go through, but, like, each one of those gives us so much backstory about our three main characters.
Yes.
That it is, that I appreciate immensely. We talked a lot about, like, the worst example of this is Xenogears that gives you the full lore dump in the game, which I rather
with
like.
With words, like, paragraphs.
Yeah, which is, like, maybe they're going for, like, a Star Wars crawl thing, but it's too much, especially for a 60-hour JRPG. This right here gives us everything we needed to know without making it boring.
I think it's a matter of taste, depending on whether you like the text dump, whether you like the original Suikoden, which just opens up with you're in a palace, like, no table setting whatsoever. But I did like the soft launch in the beginning, followed by this.
Yeah, and let's just put it this way. I don't want a text dump in a game with old books. I'll read that shit later.
They already figured it out. I mean, as is Suikoden's penchant to like incorporate any kind of mechanic into the game as like a discoverable item.
Yeah.
Music, Reminisce, plays as we're treated to a sepia-toned series of sequences as production credits parade across the screen.
And this is the one that will be in color if you did the
battles. If you fought 108 battles, God knows how long that would take. Look up a YouTube video, I guess. The first scene we're treated to is some children playing hopscotch on a city street. One falls face forward and busts their ass.
It looks like the ass buster here is our guy, Ryo.
Ryo.
Yeah.
Another runs over to check on them, placing their hand on their back as the fallen child rises up and touches their head. This showcases a considerable amount of sprite work, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we'll never see again. This took time.
Wouldn't it be funny if there were like three generic kids doing this exact same thing in the town somewhere?
They just reuse it and recycle it?
Yes.
This will be the most I'll appreciate sprite work since, I don't fucking Third Strike.
Yeah.
The next sequence appears to be those same children, plus a fourth person and an adult standing in front of a house. The dark-haired child in the back is walking away, but then the adult appears to call their name and summon them forward.
Yes.
The child holds out his left hand and lowers his head down, just as the authority figure points to it. Somebody got caught stealing?
I think what's happening here, if we can flash forward to a future knowledge of the game, is that Ryo and Jowie are being spoken to to their master, and Nanami is trying to...
Nanami.
Sneak...
Nanami? Nanami.
Konami.
Nanami?
Nanami.
Nanami. Shut up.
Konami? Kanami.
The sister.
Nanami. The sister is trying to sneak away from their martial arts lessons.
Okay. Okay. I see. Yeah. I thought it was somebody getting busted for taking gum from the bodega. I don't know.
That could be it too, but...
The children in the back appear to laugh to me too. The next sequence is parallax heavy landscape shot of two characters sitting on a grassy hill by a tree looking out at the sweeping mountainside vista.
Yes, that's us, the best friends, the main characters of the game.
One is standing with their arm leaning on a tree for support. The other is sitting with their arms around their knees. You know, the child pose where you're sitting with your arms like around your, you know.
Yeah, I confused that with a yoga move because the child's pose in yoga is a little bit different.
Okay.
A lot different, actually.
I learned all my yoga from Ring Fit where it's not called that.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
The fourth sequence features two characters behind a house facing out into the wilderness. A grave appears to be present with the character on the left walking forward, kneeling and placing something at the headstone. Chris, do we figure out what that was?
I think it is a signification of that the man that was training them in two scenes ago died.
Oh, okay. So yeah. The authority figure from two scenes ago is now in the earth.
Yes. And that is literally what happened, yes.
The fifth sequence positions two soldiers spinning blades as a precursor to some kind of competition.
Yeah.
A commanding figure is in the center of the background, and eight other soldiers are watching. The two characters, who I now assume are Jowie and Ryo, begin to spar. A well-choreographed sequence unfolds, with both combatants going hard. They trade blows, and it ends with each scoring a hit simultaneously and pushing each other backwards. Chris, what do we call that in the fighting game business? Double KO.
Double KO.
Oh, double. Okay, I didn't read that as a end to the match. I've read it as they just locked eyes and they were going to go back at it.
Well, yeah, but like I assume this match ends when someone landed a successful strike and they both did it at the same time.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. Open.
Like I feel like if you're doing a training battle in front of a bunch of cops, the cops are like want a little blood.
Right. Not until first blood or first tooth.
I don't know.
The sixth sequence features Jowie and Ryo in the center of a ceremony. 16 soldiers are in two columns on each side of them. Ryo steps forward to their commander. Their commander then takes a step forward too, appearing to pin a medal or something on Ryo. Ryo then steps back and faces Jowie, then steps aside. Jowie approaches the same commander, presumably to receive the same award.
Yes. Are they graduating or are they getting an award?
I think this is a graduation ceremony. Okay. Because the seventh sequence features a military parade.
Yeah.
Always a sign that's good.
Yeah. Is that working? No, I'm kidding.
The commander is leading two lines of soldiers across the same street from the first sequence with the children playing hopscotch. Chris, do you read anything into that? The area of play is now the area of war.
I didn't even notice that. It's beautiful.
Crowd of people waves at the soldiers as they exit the city. Both of our heroes are third from the rear in their respective lines.
They don't have helmets on.
They don't, because you can tell them. You have to tell that they're our characters. Now, do we read, knowing what we know about the Unicorn Brigade now, is this like the ROTC type thing?
Is it ROTC or is it the, I don't know what the Israeli military is called, but you know how like they're mandatory service, right?
Yeah,
like is it that? Is that what we have to do here? Or did we decide to join the army after our grandfather figure died?
It's my, I don't know. What happened earlier suggests to me that what we were in was not supposed to see actual combat. This was just like make-believe. So like not like scouts, but not also I'm in the army now.
Yeah.
Like some kind of in-between.
So thing. Yeah, I guess ROTC is a good parallel for that.
Like a training mission to prepare you for mandatory service when you actually turn 18 as opposed to 16.
Yeah.
It then black screens with Yoshitaka Murayama receiving a credit as writer and creator.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there was credits the whole time. I didn't note those because we did that in episode one.
Exactly.
Then the best thing in the world happens.
Fucking Victor.
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 It's Victor. He's currently named all question marks, but... He's there, and he says,
What? It's Victor from the video game Suikoden.
That is one of the moments that just hit me in the face, like, oh, this is a shared universe, this is connected. Because I didn't remember all of, like, the nuance of, like, the
But you remember state. Victor.
But you remember Victor, that bear man, that face. Victor says, this punk-ass bitch is a waste of time. I wonder where he came from. Hey, you, wake up already. I'll throw you in the river again, which sounds like something Victor would say.
As he says that, the noise of flowing water becomes audible, so it's actually like a credible threat.
Yeah, we're at a river.
The screen lightens, revealing fog rolling over a fetal-positioned body of Ryo on a riverbank. He's surrounded by three people, one of whom I assume is Victor.
Yes.
Ryo slowly stands up, putting both hands on the ground and shaking his head. He makes it all the way up, comes to, then jumps, alarms all the people around him. Chris, when's the last time you've been on the ground and stood up like this? Was it within the last week?
Like, stood up all slow and, like,
yeah, like
decrepit?
Yeah, like, gathered your bear, like, fallen asleep on the floor unintentionally in a field.
I've been trying to stay really active the past 2 weeks because my flow, my energy is better, especially when I'm stuck down here in the basement.
Smart. Know thyself.
Going outside and getting, like, that blazing sun on me just makes me feel alive.
Yeah, 109 heat index.
Hurt me more, snake. Like, that kind of shit is really working for me. So my energy levels have been higher lately, so that hasn't happened.
That's nice.
But
that's growth,
but it did happen every time I got up off the floor for probably a four-year period, like when my kids were young and I was just... You know, I told you I was
maxed out.
I was done.
Stamina meter emptied.
Like, yeah, I'm just now getting back to where I was before I had kids.
Smash those buttons.
Don't have kids.
I can't.
I barely could.
See the Parasite Eve series if you want to learn about how we failed or didn't do that.
I barely could. Yeah. Well, you made a good choice.
Fertility clinics.
Fucking fate is changeable.
But, yeah. Sort of power of science and
luckily
fucking money.
You're so lucky your fate didn't change, Eric.
Victor takes charge. So you're finally awake. And hey, can you say your name? And then we get a choice. Bunch of dots or we say our name. You pick the dots or you pick the name.
It's tough. It's Victor.
It's Victor. You trust Victor?
Yes.
I got to go leave your fucking war party to fight a vampire. Yes, you trust that guy?
Yes. I'm not Rio right now. I am the ethereal observer here. And it's Victor, so he can tell me his name.
All right. Despite being a silent protagonist, I tell him my own name. This is sure as Victor who says, so you can talk, huh? What the hell were you doing in the river? Did you slip? We get a choice. We were ambushed by the state army. Or we were attacked by the state army. But, and when they say state, that is an abbreviation for city-state, right?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. That's how they refer to their dudes. But is that this? We were attacked by the state army, but...
That means you're suspicious. You're about to tell them about the whole Roud thing.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
It's like, but I have my own suspicions, or just straight up, we were ambushed by the state army.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What'd you pick?
I picked but. I chose but.
I picked the latter, but remain intrigued by the ambiguity in both responses. Victor can't believe this shit.
I wrote the same thing. So,
really?
Yeah, so nice. The responses must not matter too much.
State Army, what are you talking about? We just signed a peace agreement. I can't believe it, huh? Are you a Highlander? We get a choice.
Yeah?
Highland, Royal Army, Union, Unicorn Brigade, or... No, I'm not.
What's Victor?
So you trust Victor?
Yeah, I told him the truth.
Yeah, I do too. I come clean. Fuck it. Actually, I don't know who I am or if that was true anyway, so it doesn't matter. I don't know if the Unicorn Brigade is at this point.
Yeah, this video game is turned
off. It's not been said out loud.
Yeah.
Victor takes it in stride. I see. So you and I are enemies. I'm Victor, leader of the mercenary army and friend of the city-state of Jousten.
Oh, okay.
So Victor is opposite team.
Yeah.
Not like in the city-state, but friend.
He's migrated too.
He's no longer, neutral ally.
He's left the Torn Republic for some reason. Or maybe he's from here. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, no, Victor's from... Well, yeah, you're right. We don't really know.
I do, but I'm not going to tell you now.
Rio takes a step back. Is he afraid? But then another uniquely dressed figure strolls in from the left side of the screen. He's credited as question marks, but I know this man because he was last seen on screen with Victor in the video game Suikoden, fighting in a burning castle. Who is this?
It's fucking Flick, Eric.
It's Flick.
It's back. They brought it back so quick. That's one thing that... I didn't remember. I didn't know that Flick and Victor were here when the game starts.
Yeah, that is immediate.
Yeah, it's like
It's like a handshake. It's like the game we can like, hey man, we know what you want to see.
It makes you feel a certain way.
It does. Flick says, Victor, are you even fun picking on that poor kid? Victor says that he would never do that, that he's a nice guy. Victor then asks, what happened to, quote, that other one? Oh no, Chris. Flick replies that it's no good. They lost sight of him. But Flick does say, I hope he made it.
Yeah.
So my immediate thought here is Jowie didn't escape. He floated further down the river.
Yeah, that's how I read it as well.
But we both survived, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Victor too bads that one off and tells Rio he's going to be Victor's personal guest for a while. You may not find the accommodations too comfortable, though. Don't look so worried. We're not going to eat you or anything.
Oh.
Victor then says we can go back to the fort. Chris, Victor's got a fort.
Yeah. He's really, you know, he's... I mean, he used to live in, you know, a glorious island fortress, but now he's... But having your own fort, is that better than living in Glorious Island Fortress?
The Glorious Island Fortress looked like shit on the outside, had a dead dragon in the basement, and generally was not hospitable, Chris.
That's true.
They gave the best tower to LePont.
Yeah, yeah. They had problems.
The gang walks away as it fades to black. Then we get... this is when I need the music tracks. We're going to be titled very specific things here.
Mm-hmm.
This new music song, what do you have the title as?
Those Who Don't Work Don't Deserve to Eat.
Mine just says, Those Who Work Must Eat.
Must Eat? The alternate title to this track is Food and Shelter Are Not Human Rights. He tells me that we're here in the jail, right?
Well, our
the
party
song rules, by the way.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
It's like I just want to listen to this and just march around my house, like, with a smile on my face.
We're marching up to this fort. I'm like, all right, it's gonna be a badass fort. Chris, the fort has bamboo walls.
It does have bamboo walls.
And it's like, bamboo's hard. We've got some in the Retrograde Amnesia studio right now that we hit each other with sometimes.
Yeah.
And bamboo's pretty tough, but I don't know about repelling an army. They march up a dirt road to a large building in the center of town. We enter, and Victor takes Rio to a storage room in the back right. Victor says, this will be your room for a while. It's small and not too comfortable, but you'll have to live with it since you're prisoner.
You're prisoner. You are a prisoner. But yes.
Yeah. Since that's not how people talk.
No.
So that's my first hint, like, oh no, the localization's fucked again, isn't it?
Yeah. After he walks off, he hollers down and says, it gets pretty cold at night, so try to bundle up.
I also like how Victor originally called us his guest, but now we're his prisoner.
Yeah.
So that is some, we've been tricked, Chris.
Yes, he knows how to.
Also, try to bundle up. Dude, I have my initial equipment and it's wet.
Yes.
What am I going to wear this bag of flour around me?
Anyway.
Sack kid.
We survive the night and it's morning. The birds wake me up.
Hold on. Is Victor saying try to bundle up? Is that like a power move? Is he like asserting dominance with that?
I think so.
That's what I think so too. Yeah. He's like, fuck you. See if you live.
Or does Victor think he's giving like genuine advice? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows the Victor?
A new face, a portrait character, opens that door and says,
that he's going to watch out for me. His name is Paul. Paul?
Well, he says, good morning. So you're the one they brought in last night.
Oh.
Wait, you're just a kid. Like, he's amazed Victor took a kid.
Yeah.
But that's Paul. He's wearing a green headband to keep back his red hair. He also looks quite youthful, like me.
Yes.
And like Chris said, I'm Paul.
Paul?
Paul?
Paul.
Paul?
Paul.
Paul. Is Paul. It Paul or Paul? I call him Paul.
I call him Paul, too.
Okay, good. We're going to call him Paul.
Paul.
Says, I'm going to watch out for you. After breakfast, you're going to do some work for us. After all, no work, no eat. Those who work must eat. Title track.
Unpaid labor.
Paul says he's going to watch out for me, but he really means watch over me like Paul's the HR department.
Yeah, he is.
He's there to protect the business. He's not actually watching out for me.
No.
Music, those who work must eat, plays again, and we're in some kind of additional storage room.
Paul finally decides to ask me my name and tells me that people around here are so lazy, the boss is no exception
either. Oh shit, Chris, we can turn him. He can be rebelled against his boss.
Yes.
Victor.
I'm gonna fight Victor later. We are now ordered to push some boxes.
God damn it, dude. What's time to box pushing in this game? An hour?
Less than that. Like an hour of like maybe playing the game and taking notes. But
box pushing in a sewer?
15 minutes, yeah. Paul shows me his moves about how to push boxes, and I get to work pushing boxes and picking up rope.
Yeah, we get to pick up rope that's lying here.
Yeah.
That's great. I love rope. I fear nothing. I push shit against the wall.
Yeah.
I walk over to the rope. I collect it. I exit to meet Paul, but he pushes me back in this damn room. He looks around and says I did a nice job, that he appreciates it, and we get a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you pick of course or I'm pretty tired?
I picked of course.
I picked of course, too. Yes. I let him think I'm into this shit, like I'm falling for it. Paul says, well, anyway, it's time for supper. And Chris, do we prefer supper or dinner here at Retrograde Amnesia?
I prefer in my daily life, I say dinner.
I do too.
But when I hear people say supper, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Supper to me is like someone serving me spaghetti at a medium restaurant.
Can you have a dinner club? Because you can have a supper club. I know you can have a supper club.
You can have a dinner club.
A dinner club?
Yeah.
What's a dinner club?
Chicken wings?
Okay.
Supper is like hearty. Like, filling you from the day of, like, working at the field or the plant. Like, dinner is like, I'm eating this shit before I go to bed, because if I don't, I'll feel bad in the morning.
Yeah, good point. Okay, I'll take it. It cuts to me, Rio. It's me. I'm in jail, and I'm endlessly chewing and eating.
Yeah, we've got, like, a blue mat with a foot tray.
Yeah, yes. And there's crickets.
Sandwich? Yeah, I'm taking bites. There's a shitload of custom animation while I eat this sandwich.
Yeah, way too much. Well, not way too much. Give me more of it, actually. Paul says rations have been tight lately, but that doesn't really seem to play with me eating infinite food right here.
Chris, you know what the rations being tight is code for?
We're cutting costs.
The war machine's dying down.
Oh,
it must start back up soon so we can generate more ration money.
That's true. Good point. Then it's morning time again?
Yep.
We're back at it. We've got an errand today.
Hell yeah, we're going to go somewhere.
Yeah, not really. We're going to go get two pairs of boots. Then get three flints at the blacksmith and two bags of flour at the item store. So, we finally get free roam of Victor's fort.
Yeah, let's talk up to some NPCs.
Yeah, the first person I saw was the blacksmith himself. He didn't have a dumbass beret on, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
I get my flints here. Three flints. Stones. Flint stones. Then there's a merc.
He didn't try to ask for more?
What?
Isn't this when he asks you how many you need? You can actually tell him more. And he'll just.
Oh,
give you
you're
more.
Right. Yeah, I didn't do that. I just got my what I needed. I'm not stealing from my captors.
This is a secret thieves guild. You must steal from them before they steal from you.
That's true. There's a mercenary looking guy here, chilling, who says that the war is over, but the look on Victor's face got him worried. Maybe he's worried about the ration money.
Victor lives to fight.
Yeah.
He fears nothing. If the war is over, he cannot fight legally.
That's true. Down in the bottom left-hand corner of this area, there's like a storage room. Like there's some pelts on the wall and lots of boxes in place. And there is a...
There's a Barbara.
A grandma. A grandma looking ass Barbara lady. Her name's Barbara. She says, yeah, what do you want?
She has a portrait and her mouth is wide open, which I'm always immediately distrustful of someone who doesn't close their mouth. When they
like
breathe.
Maximilian in the Maximilian
A little
Nights.
Bit, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like permanent scream.
Yeah, like that's her... Yeah, mm-hmm. She says she's never seen a prisoner around here, which I guess tells us that Victor only captures us because we're the protagonist or we have great leadership eyes, one of the two.
Leadership eyes.
And then we take two pairs of boots.
My next note is I went up to the bookshelf, and you know what happened? It created a shadow, and the sprite of Rio got darker.
Oh, yeah. The shadow transition sprites in this game are excellent.
It exists. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm playing an expensive video game. Like,
they're not. It's not dynamically shading them, obviously, but the way it's drawn makes it perfect.
Yeah, it looks nice. You can do that with polygons. At least I don't think you could. Then I head upstairs. I found a bunch of NPCs sitting down at a table. Is this like a mess hall?
It looks like a cafe to me at first, but yeah. because of the counter, but I think you're right. It is the mess hall.
One of these soldiers is glad the war is over and says the food is terrible. One is chanting the word supper over and over. He says it's all he has to look forward to, and then Leona, a portrait character, chimes in and says, can't you guys just shut up and eat?
Yeah.
I did speak to this Leona, and she says, you want something for me, kid? Ho, ho.
Ho, ho.
Hi, ho.
Come back in a few years. That's actually, I think that's how I read
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Because she says, come back in a few years and I'll be happy to teach you some things. Chris, is Leona going to teach us about alcohol or sex or both?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Hey, Eric, you know what? What they say?
Huh?
If you don't work, you don't eat.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. The item store guy who we're supposed to get flowers some says we're out of flour and I'll have to go to Ryube Village.
Hadouken.
Hadouken!
I tell Paul this information, and he tells me to go to Ryube Village for him. He says it isn't that far, but I can't go by myself.
Nope.
Someone will have to take me. He asked me to talk to Leona while he goes and unlocks the door. I do that. She says, hey, kid, what do you want? Someone to go with you on an errand to Ryube. Ryube? Ryube.
Yeah.
FakeNet, how do you say that name?
Initializing FakeNet. Rube. I say it. Rube.
So, like, when she's like, someone to go with you on an errand, I'm like, oh, yeah, she's coming with me. I'm going to get her to go with me.
She's going to show me some things.
My new girlfriend is going to go to the city with me to get some flour.
Yeah.
She's not, though. No. Leona says, okay, get in here. Gengen. The kobold, which are wolfmen.
Are you excited to see a kobold this early in the game, Eric?
Yeah, well, over by the fireplace, strolls over with his portrait character ass face and says, what Leona wants? You want Gengen or is food ready? Leona is sorry that Gengen has to babysit, but asks him to take this kid to Ryube with him. Gengen takes a step back and paces and then says, Gengen soldier. Gengen, not babysitter.
Oh, Gengen.
Leona counters, don't be like that. A fine kobold warrior like you should honor a lady's request. Chris, has she taught Gengen some lessons?
Yes, and Gengen is also being presented as like, you're a good boy. You know, they sent...
Dumb
they,
animal, like, still they, has dog instincts.
They make him feel good about doing menial tasks.
Okay.
Which is what is going on here.
Right. Everyone's manipulating somebody else in this goddamn mercenary.
He's being put in charge of us, and that makes him feel like a captain.
Right.
But really, he's just a guy who just goes to get the flower from this town.
Yeah. Gengen then appears to come to his senses and says, ah, you are right, my lady. Let's go, boy. Follow Gengen. But then someone else walks up.
Yeah?
It's Tuta.
It is Tuta.
Small girl and Tuta. A portrait character.
I have some upsetting information for you.
Okay.
Tuta is a boy.
Very well.
I can prove this because... spoiler for a future game. Do you want me to say it? We're going to play something.
I don't get...
Tuta is in Suikoden 3, and Suikoden 3 takes place like 15 years after this, and it's a grown man.
Tuta could have transitioned. You don't know.
That's true, but is this game playing with that? No.
Well, I'll have to change my pronouns here on the fly, which I don't mind doing, but I may fuck this up. Are you serious? Yeah, I guess you are serious.
Yeah.
Tuta is surprised. Gengen, where are you going? Gengen tells him, everyone keeps calling Ryo a kid, unaware that he murdered 30 soldiers earlier today.
Yes, it's very true.
Tuta is into it. Oh boy, really? Take me with you too. Leona asks Tuta if he's finished doing Dr. Juan's chores. Tuda says that he delivered the medicine. Quote, I've never been to Ryube, and Dr. Juan won't mind if I'm a little bit late. So Tuda's never been to Ryube. It's like the nearest city to here. Did Tuda grow up in the mercenary fortress?
I guess so. Well, surely the mercenaries have had more than one fortress, right?
Are these like war orphans?
Maybe.
Gengen is now pissed. He has to babysit two children. Leona begs Gengen, buttering him up by calling him a kind kobold warrior.
Yeah, this is like when you scratch a dog under his chin or whatever. Like, this is what she's doing to him verbally right
now.
Nice.
The trick works, and Gengen says, just leave it to Gengen. Gengen joins at level 6, attack 34, defense 35. Tuta also joins, level 3, attacks with a pebble. That's their weapon.
Yep. Eric, we did character profiles last time after the characters joined our army. Obviously, this is not our army now, but we're going to introduce character profiles a little bit earlier in this one for the pace of the podcast, because there's a lot more information I want to share with you on these people. So I have written down all these key pieces of information that I need to deliver to you.
That's better than flipping through tabs. Good job.
So
Chris wrote this in Meatspace. He's got index cards.
So you're going to ask me what these things are.
Okay.
Or actually, should you ask me or should I just refer to it? Should this be a participatory thing?
Let's try it out.
Okay.
Give it to me.
All right. Well, I don't have the fucking tab pulled up yet. Now I'm ready. Okay, go ahead. Gengen joins the party. Gengen is...
Star?
The Chitan star, the short star.
How old is Gengen?
Eric, Gengen is 14 in human years and 17 in kobold years.
Weird multiplier. Weapon?
Gengen's weapon is the sword, the good sword, or the great sword.
Oh, wow. What an escalation.
The very good sword was in the first game, actually. One of the kobolds had it.
There's one here that says unite. However, I don't know that you should spoil that information with potential party members.
I will not. I will just tell you the names of the attacks.
Okay.
Is the way I did it last season. Gengen can participate in the kobold attack, which has a small percentage chance of triggering the 100 kobold attack, which... have you seen the Yoshi Stampede thing in Smash Brothers?
It's upsetting.
It's that, but kobolds in Suikoden 2. Great. Also in the Bow Wow attack. So we'll maybe see that later. What's next, Eric?
Secrets.
Now, Eric, this game has a way to reveal secrets from characters in the game. We won't reveal how, but we're going to go ahead and start covering them now unless it involves a spoiler, which is why we're not really doing this with the main characters yet. Secret number one, Gengen is from Kobold Village near Two River City. His position is infantry captain. Secret number two, when his tail is standing up, it means he's happy.
Ew. Okay.
Secret number three, when his tail is down, it means, Eric, he's sad.
He's flaccid, makes everybody sad.
Secret number four, when he's found something delicious to eat, his ears stand straight.
So he's just a fucking dog. Like, is every kobold secret going to be just
his secret is, Eric, he's a dog.
Okay. Talking, so he's more of a talking dog than a dog with human qualities.
It feels like, this particular kobold, yes. Okay. I mean, he's not too well far off from where Kuromimi was, although I think Kuromimi had a purpose.
Suggestions.
Also, this game has vehicles to get suggestions from your party members to you later in the game. We're going to read them as we acquire the characters. Gengen has four. Number one, are you good? From Captain Gengen, Ryo, are you good? Gengen is trying hard to be good soldier. Me work hard as B. Number two, slow down. Ryo, don't work too hard. You might hurt yourself. Come talk to Gengen if you feel sad, okay? You strong. Ryo, you are very strong now. Not as strong as me, but strong enough. Me proud of you.
Cook-off intro.
This game also has a cooking minigame, which we'll get later. And when characters are introduced to be taste testers, they get a little intro from the announcer there. So we're going to do those in sequence as well. Ready? Do all kobolds have as bad of a sense of taste as him? It's Gengen.
Okay. I appreciate how much effort you just put into announcing that, and I hope to remix it in the future.
What's next?
War is underlined, followed by wounded and death.
He does not participate in war battles.
So war battles, if this is for some reason you didn't listen to the first, like it's a separate mode of group battling in this game.
Yeah, which is, we know it's coming, so we're going to kind of talk about that stuff as we get the characters.
But those don't apply to Gengen.
Yes, do not apply.
Okay, so you talk about Tuta now.
Yeah, let's talk about Tuta.
Star.
Eric, Tuta is the Chiyu star, the beast star, which, sure, that makes sense. Tuta is age 11 years old.
Weapon.
Tuta's weapon is, the weapon type is stones. It is the pebble, the stone, or the rock.
Unites.
Tuta has none.
Secrets.
Secrets.
Secret number one. Tuta's from Muse City. Position is rear guard and note.
I'm sorry, Mute City?
Muse City.
Okay.
Tuta is the son of one of Dr. Huan's friends. At his age, he's probably still crying out for his mama. when it gets dark out.
Sick burn.
Poor little kid. Secret number three, Tuta's medicine rune automatically supplies medicine to members of the group when they need it. It's pretty useful.
Cool. Suggestions.
Game tips. Tuta will submit in the suggestion box. I want to work. It's called My Dream. I want to work so hard that I can be a great doctor like Dr. Juan someday. Who's this Dr. Juan? Who fucking knows? Cook-off introduction?
Cook-off intro.
Just like his mentor, Dr. Juan, Tuta likes his patients warm and his Chinese food hot.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going
to... These are all hints about how to play the minigame.
All right. Basically. I was going to say, I'm not going to unpack whatever that means.
No, it's a lot.
War. Wounded death?
War. Yes, Tuta can participate in war battles.
Jesus, dude.
His wounded quote is, it hurts, and his death quote is, help me.
How old's Tuta again?
11.
Okay. That might be a war
crime. He's a support unit. It might... Is it? Can a child be a doctor in a war? Like, go out with the troops, like a field medic?
That
feels like a war crime.
If you're scraping by, I mean, and he's got medical training, then, like, if he can save the life of another, I'm not entirely sure.
Okay. All right, we're good. I think we're good. I think we're okay. All right, that's all I got for Tuta. Thanks, Tuta.
Okay, next I went to explore more of this place. I went up to the third or second floor, depending on your perspective.
Sure, yeah, let's go do that.
The kid is wandering around here. A mercenary calls me a prisoner and then tells me to take care of the kid wandering around here too, then laughs. That was weird.
Yeah, it is very weird.
Victor is in a room up here and he says, huh, you're helping out? Thanks, work hard, okay?
Gambari. Yeah, he wants to, yeah, he's Victor.
A mercenary standing outside a door says, oh, a new face? How is it? Do you like this place? Flick's a little scary, but he's pretty nice. And Victor, well... What you see is what you get.
That's actually a pretty good way to describe Victor.
Do you detect resentment in that or just he's being a realist?
I think he's just, you know, he lives here.
I walk in the big room in the center. This place is huge. There's an ornate green rug and a giant table in the center with a map spread across.
It's the war room, Eric.
Of course. Flick is at the north end, caped up and staring at a window.
He's being Flick.
Yeah.
That's all Flick does is he, what's he thinking about?
Stare
right
out
now?
The window and think about like a life with Odessa.
Yeah, that's what he's thinking about. Yeah, Odessa. That's it. Yeah, that's it.
I speak to Flick and he says, Rio, wasn't it? Sorry we couldn't save your friend. The mercenary at the desk, like writing shit down, just says, grr, I can't even make ends meet. Peace just doesn't pay. Chris, the war machine must start back up. War? War never changes. Or war has changed. Pick your side.
But war is always funded.
Flick gets up and says, hey, it doesn't have to. A word about peace not paying. And the merc concedes, well, I guess so. Finally, the upper left is Flick's room. There's a maid in here.
Yeah.
She says it's Flick's room and it has to be spotless.
Sounds like a Flick thing.
I'm also a clean this shit up person, so I, yeah. I understand. I go to meet Paul at the front door. You do anything else?
Oh, I went out to the balcony. Did you see that?
No, I didn't know that there? Existed until
okay,
later.
So I went out to the balcony and you can kind of see the outskirts here. And you can see this place is made of Lincoln logs.
Yeah.
And fucking there Lincoln is logs. The crest on the flag.
Oh, yeah.
Which we'll find out later was created by Victor. We found that from
the interview. Of course,
we'll
talk about it now. Pretty obvious from looking.
Yeah,
at
but it's like a very poorly drawn lion, and I love it. It might be a bear. I can't remember. I don't remember what the guy said. We'll get there later. But it looks great because it looks like
I believe
cheap
someone
and bullshit
calls it a lion, but it looks like a bear.
Yeah,
and I think the joke is Victor is like a bear as well.
Yeah, and Victor drew it, and I love that little.
It's
touch.
Perfect. It is a wonderful touch.
It's also a perfect encapsulation of what the fuck is up with this mercenary.
Yeah, it's like
do you
this,
think they actually
no one
like,
here's a professional?
Yeah,
Paul
why,
says.
Why did the how did we get to peace terms when the city state was employing these motherfuckers?
Yeah, why could they? Who thought they could take advantage of these guys? Yeah. Weird.
Yeah, so let's report back to Paul about find out about the flower. Right,
Paul says Ryube is north of here. You'll find it if you follow the road. Give me some. He says, get some flour at the item store there. And I like flowers in quotation marks. And I immediately read, he says, you won't need to pay for it. Well, good luck and don't get lost. I read like flour as like combustible material, wink, wink.
Yeah.
For our bombs that
oh,
we're making.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Like I don't see flour as being a legitimate ingredient to bread or baked tofu.
Need donuts.
And I can't believe we've already been kobolded this early in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. We started in the last game with like an elite force. Like everybody that was on our team had been in a war before.
Yeah.
Now we have a kid and a dog.
We have a kid and a dog and we walk outside and there's a regular ass dog walking circles around a mercenary. I'm like, is this you, Gengen? Yeah. Do you know this guy? The dude says he picked up the dog because he looked hungry. And if anything mercenaries love, it's feeding extra mouths.
Yeah.
Another guy out here says, hey, you take a look at that over there. The camera then pans over to reveal the front of the fortress, complete with a green flag with a bear on it. He says, what do you think? It's a bear flag that Victor sewed himself.
A bear flag.
Some guy at the north end in a back alley is fucking off at work. He thinks he'll take a rest here.
Yes.
Chris, I respect this man.
Yes, it's break corner.
I try to leave, but then we all party out. And Gengen says, hey, Ryo, Tuda, listen. It's a big world with lots of monsters out there. Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuta is like, hey, it's not a forest or a mountain road. There won't be that many monsters, right? And Chris, is this a game like Final Fantasy VIII where if I stick to the road, random encounters will be less? Will be fewer?
I don't know about that. Well, I guess we'll find out.
I do like how there is an actual road, though, because there's not really a compass, but they told you where it was. Well, there's a compass, but it's up. North is always up,
yes.
Right? And it kind of, the road in this game, at least in its early parts, will direct you to your next actual points of interest.
Yeah, I feel like in Suikoden 1, there were towns where you could wander and you'd be completely surrounded by greens. Like, it's all green grass and there's no direction.
The world map was like twice as big as it should have been.
Yeah.
Tuda asks about the road and he asks it to Ryo, and this deferral of leadership hurts Gengen, who says, soldier must not be overconfident. Gengen is leader of this group, so you call me Captain Gengen.
Yes.
We get a choice to hit Gengen with dots or call him Captain Gengen.
I accidentally obliged this.
Oh, I did it on purpose. I wanted to respect him.
Oh, okay. You respect
dogs
the dog.
Can go feral and bite me and with their foaming mouths.
Yeah, he just wants to do a good job.
Are you sure?
Yes. No.
Chris has faith in Gengen.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the world map for our first actual time. Chris, what do you call the world map music?
I call it, Eric, exactly what it is, an adventurous journey.
Hell yeah, that's what I call it as well.
Yeah, cool.
It's a... for some reason, I wrote this in goofy speak. Gosh, this world map looks significantly more detailed than the last one. It almost looks painterly. The last one did look like Super Nintendo Advance.
Yeah.
Whereas this one actually looks like it was painted.
There's clouds,
too. You can't
too.
See the tiles.
There's clouds that are moving across the screen, casting shadows. There's birds flying. It's really nice.
You find anything out here?
Also have a giant head.
Yeah, you're pretty big. Your sprite's a little bit more animated.
I fought some classic Suikoden monsters, Holly Boys and Furfurs.
I fought cut rabbits out there also.
Oh, yeah. Also, the blade rabbit dudes.
Who armed the rabbits holding axes and they're wearing metal helmets? Are these the equivalents of kobolds who haven't gone full domestic yet?
I don't know. We wondered about that in the last podcast, or last part.
I just, you know how apes put on hats and shit like that, and they walk around like it's just normal to wear a hat?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's what's going on here.
It's probably true.
So, around ape, but not around sentient kobold.
Yeah.
You do anything else before you went to Ryubi Village?
No, just, we've already known the battle system, right? So, yeah, let's just go to Ryubi Village.
What do you call the music that plays here?
I call it the Voice of the Peaceful Mountain.
Voice of the mountain, hearts of the people.
Yes, also true.
I call it a peaceful mountain village.
And that is what it is. It has a very more like traditional Japanese or
my first
Eastern
town.
Yes, absolutely. The first villager I meet before I go in the gates says that I mustn't, which I think they spelled mustn't wrong, by the way, go to the North Sparrow Pass. A horrible mist monster lives there. Really? I was so scared I had to change my pants afterwards. Eric, is this a retrograde amnesia diarrhea character?
I was going to ask, is this piss or shit?
Actually, yeah, you're right, I didn't say. So it cannot be.
I mean, change pants, I assume piss, because you still retain the pants and wash them. If you shit yourself, it's up for debate whether or not you retain the pants.
Yeah.
Especially if you're away from home base. You don't want to put shit pants in your car or
He didn't say I threw away my pants, is what you're saying. So, okay, we'll carry on. Then we enter town, we party out briefly.
Wait, when we walk in, a bunch of birds that were on the ground scatter away.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, advanced video game.
We're doing that.
Very
we're doing
cool.
it again. Yeah, last time we could only do it in the beautiful Golden Capital. This time we're just doing this bullshit village.
Also, all the NPCs here have different sprites. They look like real people in a real town, not eight guys all wearing khakis and a denim vest.
Yeah, I'm tired of those orange bubble vests from Suikoden 1. We party out briefly and Gengen lets us know we're here. Thank you, Gengen. Tuda suggests that we should, quote, have some fun after we're done here, which I don't know.
The child wants to fuck around and not just go on the mission. It's their first time leaving the mercenary fortress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Where'd you go first?
There's some event in the center of the town.
Yeah.
A bunch of people are crowded around a large man near a pole.
You might want to call it a hubbub.
Oh, yes, a hubbub. Very good. A powwow. A guy watching says they're traveling performers, then wonders if the beautiful fortune teller will read his fortune.
Oh.
This abobo-looking-ass man at the center is named...
Bulgan.
Great name for a fucking guy that looks like this.
Yeah, Bulgan. Me Bulgan is what he says.
A portrait character with a small tuft of hair at the front of his forehead and a very small and outstandingly weird face.
Giant baby.
Yes, it looks like the thing that Krang lives in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He says, me Bulgan. This is all he will say, so he also speaks in me terms. One of the ladies next to him, to his right, is Rina, a portrait character with black hair, huge hoop earrings, and a neato necklace.
Mm-hmm.
She says, don't worry, handsome. We'll be done setting up soon. Because she called me handsome.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. The other lady here is Ellie, another portrait character, also with black hair. Her face looks more stern and less forgiving. She says, "What do you want? Could you please wait until we're done setting up?" I'm like, what's the deal here? Like, do I have to wait in real time for the setup? Or is this like a next time you're here, they'll be set up type thing?
I think that's what it's going for. That's what it is, and I think that's what they're trying to communicate.
More NPCs?
Yeah, people outside. There's a sad dog out here. Mm-hmm. You can talk to the sad dog. It just says, "Grrr."
That's, yeah.
We've also, there's a guy out here who says he can't believe this shit. The war is about to start again.
I know. People already have gotten word that like a village was attacked.
Yeah.
The war seems like it just ended like last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to tell how quickly we came to at the on the river.
Yeah, and I think just not really spoilers, but we'll be spending what is implied as a lot of time at this mercenary fortress.
Yeah, yeah,
like weeks if not months.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy guarding the north exit who says we can't go there through to the woods. There's a horrible monster in there.
Yes,
and that connects to Millie. Did you meet Millie?
Yeah, Millie is wearing a giant white beret, walking back and forth very quickly. She seems to be in a bit of a panic. She's looking for something called Bonaparte.
Yes, she says, "Where's Bonaparte?"
Yeah.
We'll solve this problem later. There's another guy wandering around who's heard about trouble at the border, a surprise attack by an army. He doesn't say which one, he just says, "An army."
Hmm.
Then I go into the inn.
Yes, let's go in the inn.
You know what I found here as a person playing this on an original PlayStation?
A save point.
The first save point of this video game, Chris.
That's true, yeah. Yeah,
we
made it.
Dude in here says something wild. "Welcome to Ryubi Village. We're near Muse City, and our air and water are delicious."
I love delicious air.
What?
I think
there's no pollution.
Yeah, go in and you know, take in the country air is what this guy's saying.
Suck it down.
Yeah, with a straw.
An old man sitting at a table says the Highland Army went home and the war is over, and it's all thanks to Annabelle.
Who's that?
The lady eating with him says, "Don't believe anything this guy says." The dude interrupts her and asks if she's criticizing Annabelle, and I have no idea what any of this means.
No.
Later we'll learn Annabelle is in, what, Mute City?
I don't know. Muse don't remember. City. Haven't got that far
All
yet.
All right. Muse City, not Mute. Mute City is again in F-Zero.
Yeah, there's a lady in bed also, and she's shivering.
Yeah, she got the shivers.
About the mist monster of North Sparrow Pass.
She saw it with her own eyes.
I thought that the dude in the block in the forest was blocking to North Sparrow Pass, so I thought my game glitched out later when I was supposed to go to North
Sparrow
Pass.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a different pass.
Yeah, yeah.
A soldier eating by himself says the war is over, and he wonders why he has to be on patrol if the goddamn war is over.
Patrol.
Bottom left house. Some guy's in here by himself. He's standing at a table over a large pot with two taters in it. He says, "What, do I know you? Maybe you're looking for Sai. Sai moved out a while ago, but people keep coming by looking for him."
Mm-hmm.
Sai is someone we'll dig up later in that forest path who's blocked.
Yes.
Armor shop?
Yes, armor shop. There's a soldier in here, and he's sad that he's not going to get to use his armor. Is that what he's going for here?
The lady in the back begs me to buy something, saying sales have been so bad lately. Chris, is this because we are in a time of peace? Does the war machine have to spin back up for these shops to survive?
I think it does, Eric. Wow, that's crazy. I did oblige her request, and I bought a leather hat,
which
is all I had enough potch for. By the way, the currency is called potch.
Potch. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think I like bits a bit better than potch.
Potch. Bought a leather hat, and my next line is, "Oh, Lordy, it lets me equip it from the shop menu and sell my old thing."
Oh, my God, that's so good. I forgot about that. Holy shit. Like, after being under the systems we code in for a while, where the inventory system was Mass Effect 1 levels of annoying, this is a wonderful change.
Wow.
Also, now that I think about it, the currency being potch actually makes sense, considering we're not in the same, like, jurisdiction.
Yeah, we're in a different country, so.
Yeah, it would be natural for the money to be called something else. I went to the item store.
Yeah, the item shop. The item store owner immediately recognizes my dog friend here.
Yeah, Gengen.
Yes, right. Me, Cobalt Warrior Gengen. Now Captain Gengen. I step forward and get the flower. You got flower. Did you notice anything about the special item get noise?
They sound more muffled than they were last time. Like they were processed through a different synthesizer or something like that.
Oh, there's more shit on the disc. The soundtrack's huge.
Like it's more compressed.
But I can definitely tell it just from hearing the sound that we just played so many times. And
did you capture a new sound? No,
I'm keeping the old one because the new one sounds so bad. Yeah. Like there's no point in even trying to
fish up. It's the same thing with the selection noise too. Like it's the same noise, but it feels like it's being processed differently.
Yeah, I imagine that has to do with the size of the soundtrack.
FakeNet, play the new... item noise and then play the old one, you know, for different. You know, play them three times in a row. Do that shit.
Initializing fake net. New selection noise. Old selection noise. Well, that kind of sounded the same in this digital existence, but it sounds different in real life, I promise.
It didn't sound like the duck noise was compressed.
Maybe it's because it's high pitched.
Yeah.
The clerk goes to get the flour and says they'll put it on our bill. Wink, wink. This definitely isn't for flour, Chris.
No, it's a gun.
It's war materials. Here, kid, here's a pistol. Gengen says we need to get back, but Tuda says that they want to look around some more. The kid inside the store, off right by the bed, and Chris, I'm so glad there's beds in stores again.
Yeah.
Says he wants to go outside and see the show. The clerk, who I assume is his mother, says, no, watching that kind of thing makes you stupid. Chris, do watching shows make you stupid?
No, I love watching shows.
I love shows, too.
Shows are good. What's the last show you watched?
In person, according to my Tom Hop, 8 years ago today, I went to a Ren Fair and watched A Man Escape from a Straitjacket, so I think that's probably...
You know, it's been a long time since I've been to any kind of live performance, but the last one I can think of was like one of those things at a place where they like make seals do tricks.
Oh, god damn.
So I don't know if that qualifies as a show or not, but the last time I saw the fucking the Indiana Jones stunt fucking thing at Disney World. Oh,
where they run from the boulder?
And they blow up the cars and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I've seen that. I saw that like 20 years ago. Yeah, they're still out there doing that shit.
They still do it, and they still blow up cars and stuff.
Can you still
feel
the heat from the flames?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like, this is dangerous. I'm sure it's fine. Only one death a year. I forgot I went to the weapon store, too.
Yeah, the smithy. This blacksmith sucks, and he admits it.
I just had a lady who was glad her husband's back from the war because running a blacksmith is... Oh, okay. So she was doing a bad job, and he's making up for
it. Also, when you go into the blacksmith menu, like, there's a dialogue, like, in the menu, and he says, I haven't done this in a long time. So it's to indicate this is a low-level blacksmith.
Or he's been off of the war, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but hammering shit out.
Yeah, but I think that's static across blacksmiths. Like, the blacksmiths who kind of suck are going to say that. I think. I could be wrong.
Finally, there's a house in the middle. It's a residential house. It's a simple home. Three residents are gathered around a dinner table. The lady asks, where did you come from?
Yeah.
And no one answers. The man is telling a story, though, to the young child and says, that's right. I just grabbed my spear and made a scary face. Those Highland soldiers were so scared, they ran off.
Oh, yeah.
The kid says, wow, yeah, daddy is the strongest. And someone else says, ho, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 ho.
You know what else I noticed when I was in here?
There's buckets everywhere.
The doors have a full open and close animation
they
cycle
do.
As opposed to just like a binary flip open thing.
Yeah. The thing that I wrote down from this house that I first noticed was the very like the homey energy that these houses have. Like
yes.
they've done it even more so.
They're lived
than
in.
They, yeah, lived in is a good word for that. Because like even when you look on the table, there's like a plate of vegetables. What are the fucking pots called that he put the dim sum in, the steam pot things?
A pot.
There's one of those with like some dumplings sitting on there, and like it's a very someone's using this table.
Fake net, what do they actually call a dim sum pot?
Initializing fake net. There are a variety of ways to present dim sum, and there is no specific kitchen tool.
I had dim sum last week. It was so good. Yeah, next place. Yeah, what now?
I head back to the mercenary fortress.
Let's haul ass back to the merc forces where, you know what happens to here?
Those who eat must work plays.
Yeah, well, if you don't work, you can't eat.
And we just did some work, so we better be able to eat this flour,
yeah.
This gunpowder.
I go in and I check with Paul. Gengen and Tuda peace out. Paul says he's going to eat now.
Yeah.
So thanks. The music stops and they put me back in jail.
I know, and that's so stupid. I just did to work, man. I should earn like bed privileges now, not lean to.
What
shit.
The fuck?
The blue table thing's on the floor, and Rio is eating shit off of it again.
Yeah, he looks good doing it, though.
Yeah. Paul, my captor, asks how the food is today and says he told the cook to give Rio extra.
Yeah, because he's working hard.
You need those calories.
Yeah.
Chris, what extra do you get when you've been working really hard? What kind of extra do you give yourself? What is your treat for the day when you've done a good job?
I take my socks off.
That's good. In the house?
Yeah.
Filthy.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting. Don't do that shit around me.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Barefoot that shit. Me, Chris, I eat something called ice cream.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I try not to eat too much ice cream.
On extra fancy days, I leave my house and get ice cream.
Oh,
fancy ice cream. It's pay $6 for a small at Cold Stone. God fucking damn it.
They have good ice cream, though.
They do. It's tremendous. I enjoy the birthday cake flavor. Music, those who work must eat plays. And Paul's like, yo, because it's the next day now.
This is actually like a slightly different version of it.
It is?
Yeah. There's three different versions of the song.
Son of a bitch.
And this one is called The First Job.
Oh, okay, because there's the first job and the next job. So I thought that was a different song. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know those were all variants of this one.
Yeah, slightly, yes.
Paul says, hey, do you see all that oil spilled over there? Wipe it with a rag like this. Yeah, there's a squeaky noise that comes with it.
It's really satisfying, kind of.
It's a custom animation, and he walks over and starts mopping all that shit up. Paul says he wants it, quote, sparkling clean. Chris, have you ever cleaned up oil off a floor?
I can't say I have, Eric.
You want to use cat litter if it's a bunch of oil. You don't want to use rags. It's a goddamn mess.
Yeah, that's true.
Sop all that shit up with cat litter.
Yeah, well, we have no cats.
Chris, what's your method for cleaning shit up off a floor? Do you get paper towels and Windex? Do you get, like, spray and paper towels? Do you have, like, wash rags? Let's say your kid dumps a fucking thing of Kool-Aid on a kitchen floor and not carpet. How do you clean that shit up?
I go like hand towel, hand towels. Just got like five or six of them. Soak that shit up, fold it over, soak it up some more.
Paper towels or like rags?
Rags.
Okay.
Like the ones that you would use to, ones that you use to dry your hands off after
you do that.
The dishwasher.
You soil them, you sully them. You protect the environment.
It's Kool-Aid.
It is. All right, never mind.
This is not successioning, escalating.
I'll make a mess at your house on Friday and we'll see what the fuck you do with it.
Succession of messes.
Paul hands me a rag. I get a rag. I go and press X over black oil spots, including all the stains upstairs. I'm a stain master.
Yes.
I get back. Paul's like, yo, dude, this floor looks great. I have a stain wiping talent. We get a choice, of course, or it's my talent.
It's my talent.
It's my talent.
I love wiping stains. I fear nothing. This is my actual talent. Paul says, ha ha, that's a good one. You're a funny kid. I like you. Paul tells me to toss the oily rag out somewhere. We don't.
Yeah.
Then says, come on, let's have supper.
Hmm.
Music fades and reading dinner again. I'm really starting to like the ritual, the routine of life, work to eat, contribute to a community, a simple life, and one in which I desire, one in which I will stay at for a long period of time, I feel.
Well, I think this game did what it wanted to do to you. By making you feel that.
Yeah, it provided me with a routine. You know, jail's not so bad. You get three squares a day. All I gotta do is walk and get some flour and clean shit up off the floor. I don't know what the fuck it is.
But I get to hang out with the dog sometimes.
Yeah, it's great. Dog talks. I don't get that back home.
The lady at the front, she's gonna have sex with me in like 3 years.
Yeah, she'll still be there. She'll still be good. So give me a beer.
Hmm. Oh. So anyway, Paul for some reason tells me, Rio, that I'm an interesting kid.
Yeah, great. Fades to black. Then some mercenary soldiers says, hey, it looks like somebody snuck in here.
Yeah, well.
It comes back up and Paul literally jumps in the air and runs away.
Yeah, they left me unguarded, Eric.
Whose dialogue box appears?
It's Joey.
Holy
Joey's portrait.
Shit balls.
He's calling out for Rio. I answer and say, hey, I'm here. And Joey comes running to the cell.
I mean, do we yell for our best friends, Chris, or remain loyal to the mercenary we've known for 3 days? So you answered Joey's call?
It is Victor. I did answer, though, yes.
I said, fuck it, dude. Joey got to work for this shit. I hit him with the dots.
What happened?
The sound of flesh on flesh punching is audible. Did you get that?
No.
Joey says, are you here, Rio? If you can't call out, make some noise. I hit Joey with the dots again, and a louder punch is audible. Joey continues, he couldn't be. No, it can't be. Rio, where are you? Chris, I give him the dots again.
Yeah.
And there's a stabbing sound. Then Joey shows up and says, Rio, thank God. I'm going to get you out of here. Capital G on God, Chris. God is for real.
Oh, I can't believe they put all that in the game. I feel like you're fucking with me right now.
I wrote all of it down.
Yeah.
So really, Joey just showed up. You just called out and he didn't have to fucking kill anybody?
Yeah, he runs in there and he thanks God, lowercase g.
Really?
Yes, that I'm here.
Are you serious? It's lowercase g? I swear to God, I got uppercase G. Dude, Joey only believes in God if he's killed men to get you out.
That may be incorrect. I may have just written it down that way, but I feel like I usually keep their capitalization.
Yeah, if God's
scheme.
Capitalized, yeah. I recognize the capitalization.
Well, anyway, Joey whacks the door with his tier McDoll staff.
Yeah, then music. The first job. I got first job. Plays and he says, are you okay? Would you get next job? What'd you get? What kind of music did you
get
there?
Escape?
Whatever. Thinking I'd play escape, I guess. So are you okay? I'm so relieved. Let's get out of here before the soldiers come. Joey joins party. I go to that top floor and damn it, who awaits?
It's Flick. And a bunch of guys.
And Victor.
Oh, I didn't see Victor. Victor looked too much like a guy there, I guess.
Flick speaks, all right, that's far enough. Give yourselves up before you make us adults mad. And I think that we are adults here and they're just calling me little kid. Like in the Kevin Smith movies where everybody refers to Jay as a little kid even though he's like 40.
Yeah.
I just think they're like infantilizing me by calling me a kid.
Yeah.
Joey confesses we're outnumbered and we get a choice. Let's bust through or I understand. What'd you do, Chris?
I understand.
Oh, what happened?
I'm ready to bust out. Flick says that Joey can start by telling him who he is.
I said, let's bust through. Flick takes out his goddamn sword and hits me with it, knocking Rio flat on his back. Joey can't believe this shit and says, are you okay, Rio? And fade to black.
Oh, wow. Well, I also fade to black after Flick says that, and now we're in the war room with some fire noises,
yes,
right?
Yes, the fireplace is burning.
Yes, Victor says, okay, we'll start with your name. Joey tells the truth. He's Joey Atreides.
Atreides? Are you fucking kidding me? I didn't know that when I was playing this game.
From the Dune. Yes.
Son of Atreus.
Yes, I from everything that I've read, it seems like it's like a...
Deliberate reference?
Deliberate, yeah.
They're referencing Agamemnon, the Symax, son of Vorian, or gave birth to Vorian Atreides and started the Atreides line that eventually birthed Duke Leto and Paul, of course.
I guess so. I mean, he is. We find out later that Joey is a nobleman, so kind of. Victor assumes that Jowie is also a Highlander, which is true. Jowie confirms Flick assumes this is the other one they lost in the river, which is
confirmation that that was Jowie.
True, yes. Victor notes that he never did hear about how we wound up in that mess, which...
Jowie starts to explain the goddamn mess.
Yeah, it seems like Victor should have already asked that question, but...
It does not seem like that. It is not in Victor's character to ask these questions.
Well,
he's a fucking roll with the wind, man.
Yeah. I decided to tell the truth, because it's Victor, you know?
Great.
And what would you do?
Jowie says, well, that Victor interrupts and says something about the surprise attack by the state, but the state army hasn't moved since the peace treaty was signed, so what the hell happened? And you're right, we get a choice, the truth or I can't say. I mash buttons and pick the first one and tell the truth.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It fades in, fades back out. Victor...
So we just told him all that shit.
Yeah, it's like one of those things. Victor seems to think that this doesn't sound good, which,
no.
Yeah, it doesn't. He's heard of Luca Blight, but... dot, dot, dot. He then asks Jowie what he planned to do after he rescued Rio. Jowie says that he planned to go back to... How are we saying that? Kiaro Town.
Also, when Victor said he's heard of Luca, usually Victor has some bravado about, I can probably beat that guy, but he's like, I've heard of that guy.
Yeah. And keep in mind, Victor has a vampire slaying on his resume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An immortal vampire.
Wow.
Flick takes that to mean that we're still playing, like, we're going to try to escape.
Yeah.
Jowie confirms this, and Victor paces back and forth about the room, then speaks.
Yeah. Jowie's saying, yes, we still plan to escape.
Yeah.
A power move.
Yeah.
Like,
it is.
Like, it says a lot about Jowie right
especially
here.
In my game, stuff just killed some of his men, or at least stabbed some of them.
Yeah.
And Flick says, well, you can stay in that cell for a while. We'll give you food and a place to sleep. Fade to black.
Wow.
So we're in the cell now with Jowie, and Jowie says, sorry.
And crickets.
The crickets are playing. I couldn't rescue you after all. After that, I woke up in a village named Toto. I'd been found by a little girl who brought me back to her home where they mended my wounds. I heard a rumor that a young man was being held prisoner here, so I came to save you. Sorry.
Yep.
Fade to black again.
Fades back in, Eric, and we're eating again.
It's a new song.
It's a wacky version of the if you don't eat, you don't, or if you don't work, you don't eat. It's called.
It's got silly horns.
Yeah.
Are you going to eat that carrot?
Are you going to eat that carrot?
Are you going to eat that carrot?
Great, good. We sink. And we're both being served food in our cell by Pol, who apologizes for the food not being very good. We're on his bad graces again. No extra today, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
But try to eat it all, he says. Then Pol plays good cop. Rio, I don't blame you for trying to escape, but please don't do it again. The boss will let you out of here soon enough. Sure you will, pal.
Yeah.
I know Victor's good for it, but Rio doesn't know that. Jowie politely asks for a spoon.
Did you feel it when Jowie asked for a spoon?
What do you mean?
Like, did you read enough into Jowie at this point that you knew that he was asking for a spoon to escape?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he's asking for a tool.
Yeah.
And I can't tell. Pol responds, and I can't tell if he's being sarcastic. A spoon for your soup? Aren't we the fine nobleman?
Yeah, I think he's trying to be a little bit of a jokey.
Yeah.
A jokester.
Kind of. And then he says, wait a minute, I'll get you one. And I hope he leaves and never comes back. And do mercenaries dump soup in their mouths, Chris?
I guess. I think it's an anime thing.
Okay.
But also, I thought it was a burrito also. It looks kind of like they're picking up a large thing, but I think they are dumping...
I mean, sometimes if the burrito I can tell is going to explode, I'll eat it over like a plate and then spoon the rest of that shit inside my body.
Yeah, yeah. Jowie then asks Rio if he wants his carrots.
You need that carrot?
Are you?
Ding noise. Because Jowie just said the song title, Fade to Black. Music, the first job plays.
I got escape.
All right. Maybe
we'll check that later.
And it's night in the cell.
The song you had, do you have written down what the song is? I mean, like
first
the,
job place.
No, I mean like the instrumentation or anything. Do you have any notes?
No, not
remember.
No,
oh, okay.
Not for this specific instance.
Escape is the one I can find. Was just a bunch of like sticks and horns, I guess. Anyway, carry on.
Joey says it's just about time. Rio, let me see what you're holding. I'm like, what I'm holding, dude?
Yeah.
You know what I got?
This
what's happening? We get a choice. Are we trying to escape or why?
I ask if we're going to try to escape, because I'm ready to escape.
Dude, I asked this motherfucker I no longer trust. Why?
Oh.
Jowie replies, we're going to bust out of here. They won't expect us to make a run for it so soon. Let's see. Flint, oily rag, rope. Excellent. This will do just fine. But first, we got to get out of here.
Yep. Then he does a spoon trick to open the door. And?
He bends the spoon to pick the lock of the gate he sliced in half yesterday.
He's Neo.
He says, all right, it's open. They won't catch us this time. And Jowie parties up.
Yep. Then we get to sneak upstairs. There's two mercs up here fucking off being tired like genome soldiers.
Chris, I don't want any part of this. I want to stay in my goddamn cell.
Oh, you like it here?
Yeah, I love it here. I'm eating here, man.
No, I need to get out of here. I mean, I know it's Victor, but still, we're on the other team. We don't know what he's going to do to us.
But yeah, they're genome soldiers.
And Jowie mentions that the door is locked. I think he's referring to the front door. And then he begins to light shit on fire. which I guess is a rag.
I was like, oh, we're escalating. All right.
Yes, and he tosses that across the room.
He sparks the flint and lights it.
Yeah, it's a lot of animation again, once again. This seems to distract those dudes. We can make a run for it. I forgot that the front door was locked and ran to the front door.
So
Jowie says the front door is locked.
Yep.
You dumbass. We then...
I run toward the soldiers and Jowie says, what are you doing?
If you do this 108 times, you win.
I went upstairs.
Yeah, you go upstairs and go out on the balcony and
use... The Verdana, please.
Yes.
But I don't know what that word means. I don't know what a Verdana is. I thought it was a font.
Yes, we used the rope to get down. And we've added...
There's like a slide noise.
Yeah, and we've added a lot of rope animation to Suikoden 2, which is a improvement on Krin's just appearing rope in the first game.
Yes.
Krin, the only fucker who had a rope. This time, you know, we've got a rope. I'm in charge.
Now we're out in front of the Murak house. Rather than further escape, Jowie has something to tell me. Rio, on the night of the attack, when I think about Captain Raud and that man he was talking to, it might still be dangerous in Kiaro, but I still want to go back. Your sister Nanami is waiting for you there, too.
Nanami.
She's probably worried about you. We get a choice.
As you know, your sister...
Yes.
Yeah, we get a choice, and I agree with Jowie.
Let's go back, or it's too dangerous to go back. I choose the first one like Chris. Jowie confirms, yeah, that's where we grew up. We can't forget it so easily.
Yes, as you know.
And we're back on the world map as Adventurous Journey plays. Chris, something I noticed. If you sit on the world map, Rao will sit down and fall asleep like Sonic if you let him idle there.
Ah, cool. He's got personality, Eric.
And Chris, you can go back to sleep until next week with our next episode.
Yeah, but don't go to sleep until you consult the real net for all your sleep problems.
Initializing RealNet.
Page up. Gotta page up more often.
No kid produced yet.
Oh, still coming. Still chilling.
I don't think you chill inside a person. I think you heat.
John Doe says, nyak, 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 I'm the bone situation.
Bone situation?
Did we have a bone situation conversation?
I think we may have had a situation about bones. I don't remember.
It's been a while. Too much bone talk here. I'm paging down. Kal-El says, I'm currently sitting alone in my best friend's basement listening to this.
I approve.
I told her it was nerdy podcast night.
What's the most fucked place you'd listen to a podcast?
I don't know if I have an answer for that. Like, I mean, the toilet's is the most fucked place I go to on a regular basis.
I don't think I've taken headphones to a toilet because, like, they're attached to my phone. Usually, I only got wireless recently, and I have to like put the phone on the thing while I'm on the. There's like during the wiping situation that could get messy.
Yeah,
I usually
after not like. One out of every maybe five or six times I wash my hands with my phone in the room, I will also wash my phone.
Oh,
off.
Good. Yeah. I have an alcohol spray at work for that.
Anyway.
Thank you, Kal-El. Thank you for using your resources available to you.
John Doe says, yeah, most JRPG openings in this era felt like they were trying to flex, which I think that's...
I love it. I'm for it.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, they were really trying to do some stuff.
And Metal Gear kind of changed the game for credits over the intro, too,
yeah.
I think. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I remember seeing that. And I assume these people here had at least heard of or played Metal Gear, given Konami's in-house...
Yeah. Flip Minix refers to that graduation as the you're a child soldier now, son, ceremony, which is,
A universal truth.
Dubert says Victor's 1,000 times better in Suikoden 2 than Suikoden 1, which is saying a lot.
Victor says, Mr. Slyke says Victor is the cool mom's boyfriend type, which very much.
Yeah.
Mom's boyfriend and like can kick your ass, but won't.
Yeah. Eric von Ein says Victor is a great role model, absolutely rips off con artists and joins the resistance against fascist genocidal empires.
Yeah, Victor is a suitable role model. I think Flick has like a less chance of getting me killed, but
that's true.
Victor works.
Eric Van Eyne says, "See the power of the bromance," which is a Flick and Victor reference. I think
I do hope they have like not necessarily a bromance, but kind of like a dueling relationship throughout the course of this game.
They at least to this point, they haven't had any like moments between the two. They've existed alongside each other, but not really.
Do we see scenes cut away from our character in this game, like featuring other people, or is it always from Rio's point of view?
I think that there are alternate point of views. I'll just say that because I don't want to spoil anything. Is imprisoning a child a war crime? Asked Mr. Slyke.
I don't think so.
He's an enemy combatant. So
yeah.
Once you're an enemy combatant, you're of age in war. Eric Van Ons says supper is always before 5 p.m. with your oldest relatives.
That shit drives me nuts, man.
I got used to eating early because of kids.
What's early to you? What is your dinner time relative to your bedtime?
Nowadays, dinner time is like 6:30.
Yeah. That's standard. I go between 6:30 and 7.
But 2 years ago, maybe even less, it was like 5.
And you would go to bed when? Like to
10 or 11.
The object of the game is not to go to bed hungry. Like to restart the hunger when it's time for bed.
Yeah. John Doe says Victor has a good eye for protagonists, or he just takes no prisoners and kills everyone on sight.
One of the two. Who knows? There's no other prisoners here. I assume every other prisoner is just eventually recruited for these guys.
Cal L says, I would love to know what the sprite budget slash workforce was in this game. I know the sprite artist on FF5 told Sakaguchi there were too many sprites and she could never do that again.
Yeah, I got a feeling a lot of people were like, I'm glad we made it. I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
After this game.
Yeah. Blackie Mars says, if you trade Gengang with a friend and evolve to Gengar.
There aren't many Pokemon jokes I get, but if you stick to the original 150, I'm there.
Sean Doe says, oh my God, is this camp outer heaven? Is Victor big bossing it up in here? Kind of is.
Yeah.
I mean, the only difference is that he has not declared the Mercenary Fort a sovereign land.
Yeah, not yet. He hasn't seceded from anything.
Yes. Somebody says, John Doe says, who let the kobolds out? Thanks.
Mr. Slyke says, Gengen needs to have a bowl on the floor by choice.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Eric Von Ein says, the war crimes room, not the war room. That's good.
John Doe says, petition for the war part of the word in word war crime in the counter soundbite to come from the song War.
The song, who sings War?
I don't know.
I'm sure there are many songs called War, but I'd need to be more specific. I was thinking about that, though, about where to sample soundbites for War.
War never changes.
That was my first, like that or the Ron Perlman shit. Or that is the Ron Perlman. I was thinking about Snake, never mind.
Snake.
David Hayter versus Ron Perlman.
War. War never changes. War has changed.
Maybe we must have been talking about Gengen for a long time. I'm trying to move on from the Gengen part. John Doe says, I assume any rabbit or other monster that you fight in a game that is clothed and wielding weapon has its own culture and your party is just implicitly dehumanizing them in order to mitigate the guilt of murdering them and stealing their gold.
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely.
They're carrying potch after all.
Yeah, if they have money, then they're trading it and that's, we need to reevaluate what the hell we're doing. Unless they ate the money. It's like Metro where you can fire your money, but you can eat it instead.
Eric Von Ein says the best way to clean off oil is to set it on fire.
Also true. Done that. And your dad comes home and asks what you've been doing.
Seated Power LLC says Jowie and Rio are finally going to earn their freedom and not be able to cut it as cashiers. Cal-El says the spoon is for drugs.
Yes, that's my immediate thought. He needs a spoon to do drugs with.
SS Ninja says Jowie's about to slam someone through the announcer's table. All that racket, yeah.
Yeah.
wrestling noises.
You hear the PVM hit the ground.
Duber says it's so fucking cool that Flick and Victor's last scene in Suikoden 1 was fighting endless columns of soldiers and then they appear here. It is
in
great.
A burning building. Yes. Yeah, that was awesome. Ambiguity answered.
Blackie Mars says oil, power, and land.
Is that the ass, cash, or grass?
I think it's the three resources in Europa Universalis 5, which is not a game that's out. I think it only goes to 4. Anyway.
Okay.
Grand strategy games are cool and hard. Am I caught up? Yeah, I'm all caught up. Thanks, RealNet, for the RealNet and being here. RealNet in a full RealNet. This episode is a production of Retrograde Amnesia, recorded on June 21st, 2022. Find us on Twitter at RetroAmnesiaPod. Email podcast at RetrogradeAmnesia.com, and you can support us on Patreon if you go to the website patreon.com/RetroAM and subscribe for early access, bonus episodes, miniseries, and more. Thank you, Mark
Shepard,
for the music.
You're welcome, Chris.
Until next time, Eric.
Yes, we will kill God with a capital or lowercase g.
And now, you may go back to Bath with a capital or lowercase b.
I'm not sure what the exit music is going to be. Cursed Bath is so good that I think I might keep it, but...
Welcome to Retrograde Amnesia. My recording. Yeah, okay. He had to come get it before a certain time because her husband has a podcast.
Hell yeah.
And
dude.
I was like, don't say that.
Don't say that out loud.
I don't want him to ask me about it.
Chris, I had 3 job interviews in the past week where I talked about the podcast.
Yeah, that's weird.
Fucking.
Yeah, that's weird. But it's also really good that you get to use this as a thing.
You try to say Retrograde Amnesia out loud in an interview. See how that goes for you.
I mean, we might need to you mean to write you a script? I think I know. I've talked about this with people who
fine. I'm kidding.
Please see the Wired article by Aiden Moore. Okay. Where are we?
That helped.
I choose but something out of sense.
You did. You said that.
Okay.
I'm going to delete the Boondock Saints reference. I'm not doing that. Fuck that. Rather than...
But it has Norman Reedus in it, right?
It does. Second Norman Reedus and everything.
I picked but. I chose but. I picked but. I chose but. I picked but. I chose but. This episode is...
That's it. Play the exit music. Mm-hmm.